It's 5 o'clock in Pirate Country, and it's time to get pumped up with the P-Man. Hit the door and hit the road. 94.3 The Game is going to get you home, and the P-Man's not holding back.
Yes! Pirates win! Pirates win!
Bring on the Patrick Johnson Show on 94.3 The Game.
Holy mackerel! Oh, my goodness!
The flagship station of the ECU Pirates.
All right, hello again, everybody, and welcome. It is the Patrick Johnson Show as we get ready for a Pirate baseball tonight. The number 12 team in the land will travel to NC State on the way, and they are number 18 in the latest poll. Intriguing match tonight from the Doak as these two meet in Raleigh for the first time this year. We'll have coverage for you on the radio with an airtime for the pregame in 45 minutes with Scott Rogers and Gary Overton on the call. We'll be bringing that one, and it should be a heck of a game tonight. Aaron Groller, the left-hander with the 1-0 record, 4.91 ERA, going to come out, as Coach Godwin told us last night, on Inside Pirate Athletics with that reliever's mentality. Give him what he can for one, maybe two, and then they'll be passing the baseball. It'll be Ryan Morone, Freudian slip, Morone, another lefty, starting for the Pack. Now, he has got a couple wins this year and has a 4.63 ERA. Packer 18-7 coming in, and they have won six of their last seven. They got a series win over Duke. They swept Notre Dame. Lime out. One of a familiar face is leading them in hitting. I'm not talking about AMAC. I'm talking about the Wichita State transfer, Garrett Pennington. 386 batting average. Of course, the former Pirate infielder, Makarevich, AMAC, hitting 350. 31 runs, 11 doubles, 11 home runs, 40 runs driven in. The Pack bat, 305 as a team. Their ERA has been a little high, 6.5. 228 strikeouts, 124 walks for their staff in 211 and two-thirds innings. Let's do a Pirate report. We'll get to some audio on this as we get ready to talk Pirate baseball with you here on the Patrick Johnson Show. Hit it in 3, 2, and 1.
And now, Patrick Johnson with today's Pirate Report on the flagship station of the ECU Pirates, 94.3 The Game.
All right, Pilk, let's start with the comments from Coach Godwin as it pertains to AMAC. We asked him this on our interview we do where we go inside the Pirate Clubhouse with Coach Godwin. Steve and I go and myself do every Monday. This is what Coach Godwin had to say about facing off against the former Pirate AMAC.
And look, yeah. I just want to say this, and I want everybody to hear it. I don't have any ill will towards AMAC. I'm glad he's having a great year.
I got the full cut here. Let me play it for you in its entirety right now.
I don't have any ill will towards AMAC. I'm glad he's having a great year. I probably would have handled some things a little bit differently back in the fall. What I would say is I gave him everything I had, every ounce of energy in my hand, and was hurt when he left, but it looks like he made the right decision. He has played more freely, so I did hold him back. That was not my intention. So, I want to win the game, but I have no ill will towards AMAC, but we still want to win the game.
I thought that was a candid response from Coach Godwin, and I do think there's still some hard feelings. Might be a little harsh. I mean, there's no vitriol there. That's probably what's too harsh. But you know, I do think there is maybe some hurt feelings about maybe how all that kind of went down. And I appreciate Coach Godwin's candor when he spoke with us yesterday about it, and I appreciate his candor last night when Steven asked it on the coach's show. A couple other things from Joe, and Pilk, tell me if there's more, but I've got the three cuts here One of the things that is talked about is the mustache march. Here's what Coach Godwin had to say about those fundraising efforts.
Yeah, it's been great. You know, we still got money coming in. I appreciate everybody that's just donated, that's continued to push it socially, social media wise. I definitely think we'll get to our 10,000 mark.
Also, you have, and they feel like they're going to get close to 100,000, probably won't surpass it this year, but next year. The doubleheader with UAB, part of a sweep, Coach Godwin, on playing two on Friday.
Yeah, for sure, and it's really hard to win college baseball games. It's really, really, really hard to win both games of the doubleheader, and I thought we did some good things. Of course, the pitching was really good. I mean, to play a doubleheader and throw four pitchers, I don't know if you've ever done that in my coaching career at East Carolina. We only used seven on the weekend, which there's going to be a lot of guys that have to pitch tomorrow night, so that works out well.
Yep, and that is part of Groller's task tonight, is to come out and kind of empty the tank, at least in an inning's worth of work. It'll be a Johnny Holstaff kind of night for the Pirates. And that bullpen has been fabulous. Over the last couple of weeks, an ERA of just over two, eight earned runs surrendered by the pen in the last 35 and two-thirds innings of work. The pitching staff as a whole during the first part of the season, second nationally in WHIP, fourth in earned run average at 349, sixth in fewest hits allowed per nine innings, just over seven, and ninth and fewest allowed per nine innings, 3.1. Lance Richinkman, the way, obviously, out of the pen, ERA of sub one, and seventh in strikeout nationally at 15 and 0.75 per nine. That ERA number, which is near spotless, ranks him fourth in the country. Pirates, as a group, are batting 299. Have at least five of their regulars that are batting 314 or better. Carter Cunningham continues to lead the team in batting. Not that he's cooled necessarily, but he's not off to quite the torrid start that he was. How could he maintain that? But he's close to 400, has six home runs, and leads the American in RBI with 30. Also a second in the conference in batting average and on-base percentage and slugging percentage. Pirates, of course, will play at Florida Atlantic and then play 18 of their final 25 regular season games at home. After this four-game road week, it will have more games at the friendly confines. Pirates, of course, got the good start last week. Nothing deficit. And this is what Coach Godwin say about that.
Yeah, super proud of our guys. Started out down 4-0, had a great crowd. So, of course, the crowd's, like, probably scared to death and sitting on their hands. And I thought, you know, Chaz getting a big swing off a two-run homer in that second inning, got the crowd back into it. And then our bullpen was phenomenal, and our offense just kept chipping away. And then finally, you know, we scored seven runs, and our bullpen just said, hey, you're not going to get any more runs, which is awesome. And it was a great crowd and a great way to start the week.
We had Danny Beal, Joey Barini, and Cam Clonch on the show last night. Great stuff from those guys. Beal, you know, I guess the word Friday was that he had some arm soreness. Told Steven and I last night in the break that he was fine. I think you'll see Chris Kaler factor into this out of the pen tonight. The idea is to try to maybe get it to the end of the thing where maybe Beal and Lunsford Chinkman can take things over. So we'll see. 6 o'clock, first pitch from Doak Field as the Pirates take on the Wolfpack in the first of a couple meetings this year. And I think it's going to be a night where AMAC is going to be fired up. Can he control the emotions? And can he continue to hit in the groove that he is hit in? And I'm not saying necessarily hit a home run. You know, he'd love to. But can he continue to be the productive offensive player that he has been? His defense, maybe not as airtight as it was last season. He's had some errors early, but he's more than making what he's doing. So, you know, I think the Pirates, at least statistically, their pitching staff. So We'll see. You know, that's I don't want to say a weakness, but that's an area where NC State maybe is not quite as strong. I think offensive, you could at least make the argument so far through the first half of the season, statistically speaking, that the Pack have been a little more solid than the Pirates. The other part of this is it's going to be a perfect weather. It's going to be warm. I don't think there's any wind blowing in. We'll get an update on that, I'm sure, from Scooter and Coach O coming up later in the hour when they go on with the pregame. But they put a nice adjustment on the weekend to hit the ball on the ground rather than try to drive it out of the park into the teeth of the wind that was coming out of the north. They worked towards, you know, trying to find holes and, you know, change their approach and how they hit the ball. I also, as Philip the Ref Pilkington is producing here, I know Cliff, the suicide squeeze that led to a couple runs. Wouldn't you want to do that here? This is a good spot to maybe do this tonight, especially if you get runners early in the game.
I think it's a great spot. You just got to execute. You know, they're 2-for-2 this year, which is great. The only problem is they're 2-for-2 on film this year. So a team like NC State, very disciplined, plays very high-level baseball every weekend in the ACC. They're going to be a little smarter to it. But to your point, Patrick, if you can execute it, that could be an early gut punch for the Pirates on to the Wolfpack.
Yeah, and I know the Pirates are going to be – you're going to be fired anyway. It'll be interesting to see how fired – All right, speaking of NC State, Final Four run for them. Wes Durham joined us earlier this morning on Talk of the Town, so we're going to have an encore presentation of that coming up in just a bit. That'll do it for the Pirate Report. We'll have some more ECU thoughts for you later on in the hour. But right now, a timeout, and we'll come back with Wes Durham, voice of the ACC, joining us earlier today on TOT.
We have you covered with all the ECU news and beyond that you need for the drive home. The Patrick Johnson Show on 94.3 The Game.
All right, the NC State Wolfpack are going to the Final Four. Of course, the Pirates and the Pack playing on the diamond tonight. It'll be Purdue and NC State at 6:09 Saturday from Glendale, Arizona. The second game to follow between Alabama and UConn. Let me find my Alabama thing here. Pilk, here we go.
Alabama!
There it is. All right. Wes Durham, voice of the ACC, on to talk about the NC State Pack. He worked with us this morning, and the legendary Legend Award-winning Hall of Famer Henry Hinton about the special that was filmed last summer that aired recently on the ACC Network, or is airing on the ACC Network and debuted recently, and that is the conversation between Coach Roy, Roy Williams. So Wes, about how all of that came here, and then we'll hear him to pack.
Golly, very organic process. I was contacted February a year ago. You remember Rob Goodman, who was a sports anchor in Greensboro.
Yeah.
Now's in the sports marketing business, and Rob's a friend. We worked together on the NSMA board, and Rob said, "Hey, Mac Morris, the old basketball coach at Page High School, wants to talk to you." And I said, "Well, that'd be great. I knew him when I was a kid, you know." That kind of thing. And remember, he had great players, of course. Danny Manning was probably the best basketball player he ever had at Page. But Mac and contacted me and said, Wes, he and Phil Weaver, who were the basketball coach at Grimsley in Greensboro, they run what they call the North Carolina Coaches Association. And their 75th anniversary of their coaches clinic was this past summer. And they had arranged for Mike Krzyzewski and Roy Williams to be part of it. And rather than stand up and lecture and have this conversation, Mike and Roy wanted to have, like, rather than do whiteboard and draw out-of-bounds plays and stuff, they wanted to have somebody ask questions. And Mac said that Coach K and Roy had both suggested me, and which I was just completely flattered to hear and humbled to hear. And so I agreed to do it. It was on July the 17th. And then the back end of it, about 3 weeks after we kind of worked all the parameters out, Mac calls and says, hey, do you think anybody would want to televise this? And I said,
heck yeah.
You don't think they would? No, I don't think they would. I know they would.
Yeah, exactly.
And he said, well, can you help us? And I said, sure. So I contacted the projects people with ESPN and the ACC Network and told them kind of what was happening. And next thing you know, we had a committee. Not a committee. It's a joke. I always like to say we have committees. You know, we had a group together, and next thing you know, we worked it out and televised it. Raycom Sports was involved, Rob Reichle. The real star of the deal is Jordan Smith, who was our producer. He did a phenomenal job taking a 1 hour and 28-minute conversation and condensing it down into 49 minutes, 51 minutes, basically, start to finish without commercials. And Roy and Mike were terrific, but it was a real team effort across the board. The coaches, very comfortable with it. I think people will enjoy it. The thing that I think some people thought they were going to get that they don't get is, you know, we didn't dig into specific games. We didn't dig into, we talk about Duke Carolina, but you're doing this for 4,000 coaches, Henry, right, who were in attendance at this clinic. And we're doing it in front of a lower bowl at the Greensboro Coliseum. So it's a lot of leadership stuff. It's about building programs. But I think Carolina and Duke fans alike, and anybody who, you know, enjoys sports or enjoyed watching these two teams play, will get some benefit out of it and learn something they didn't know. And then their path in particular to being coaches, I think, is really revealing in the 1 hour day.
Well, you know, everybody assumes that Roy Williams and Mike Krzyzewski, you know, don't like each other. But I can tell you from my days working radio in the ACC that Dean Smith was very guarded. And he, you know how he was. You knew him as well as I did. And he was, he wasn't going to let anybody get too close to him. But somehow Valvano broke through that with Dean.
That's correct. Yeah, Valvano and Kremen, they're responsible.
That's exactly right. And so all of a sudden, Krzyzewski and Valvano and Dean Smith are having cookouts.
Oh, yeah.
People don't know that. I remember that conversation with Coach Smith one time. And
well, and you knew my dad and Coach Valvano were close.
Right.
Jim first came to Raleigh.
I got to know Jim Valvano through Woody, of course, and we had a great relationship with Valvano. He was just a great guy. But those guys, look, they want to beat each other's brains out. But when the season's over, there's some camaraderie that exists, even though they're still recruiting against each other and stuff. They have, I think it's born out of respect. I will say, I was in the media room the night that Krzyzewski gave the double standard speech.
Oh yeah,
that set off a firestorm with Dean and all that. But to be honest with you, I thought he was right.
I was on the
Tar Heel Sports Network, so I couldn't say that. But I watched that game that night, and I can tell you there was a young official in Cameron that night that Dean just absolutely intimidated, and he got every call in that game.
And it made
Krzyzewski mad, and he called it out during his press conference. I don't blame him.
Sure. And at the end, it was, I think, one of the things we do talk about in the piece is Coach K's relationship with Dean Smith at the end of Coach Smith's life.
Right.
And what that meant to Mike. The eerie part for me was having watched Coach Smith's career, you know, as a kid, and then obviously in the early years of Georgia Tech before he retired, and then watching Coach K's career wind down, how eerily similar a lot of the things Coach Smith did towards the end of his career, Coach K did. And you remember the running joke when Coach Smith retired. It was Dave Droshak, who's a terrific writer, used to write for the AP, said that Coach Smith started wearing brown toward the end of his career because he was getting ready to pass Adolph Rupp, and Adolph Rupp used to wear brown suits, right? And Coach Smith used to wear those Count of Smyra ties all the time, right?
Yeah.
And Krzyzewski came out to end his career with all these ties, and I referenced it to David Teal, who writes in Richmond Now, and Gowdy, and some of those guys who've been on the beat a long time in the ACC. I looked at K one night, the ACC tournament toward the end of his career, I go, damn, is that a Count of Smyra tie he's wearing? I mean, you know, what are we doing here? It's an amazing parallel between Duke and Carolina. And obviously, here in the last 3 weeks, NC State's wanted their say on the road too, and it's been kind of
fun. Let's talk about NC State. One final comment though about the whole double standard thing. I thought it was interesting to see that we lived long enough to see Krzyzewski was the double standard. because he was getting the calls, and he was the dean of the ACC at that point. All right, back to what's happening now. NC State.
Yep.
Unbelievable story. I mean, every now and then the NCAA tournament spurns one of these great stories. Somebody I read the other day that, you know, that we should not call this a Cinderella story because it's not, because NC State was good all year. They just lost a bunch of close games. But the reality is that, you know, they've won 9 in a row. And I don't know if I've ever seen anything like it. It does remind me a lot of 83.
Yeah, it does. It's got a lot of feel of the 83 run. But the 83 run, it's interesting. Tim Peeler yesterday on our SiriusXM show was talking about the 83 team was in the NCAA tournament before they beat Virginia in the championship game at the Omni in Atlanta. They were in probably after they beat Carolina in the semifinals, to be honest. And then they staved off death like 3 times before they ever got to Albuquerque, right? So that was the incentive and kind of the fire that burned the Valvano team for the survive and advance concept. And look, I think Kevin Keats knew he had to beat Louisville and then probably win the tournament to get in the NCAA tournament. I think the fascinating part for this Wolfpack team is that it shows you in today's landscape of college basketball that sometimes teams do continue to evolve over the course of the season. And some teams, and I would equate a little bit of Florida Atlantic to this, Henry, from last year or so, I think it is capable that you play your best basketball late, because I've had more than fair share of coaches tell me that in today's college basketball, you start your season and it's going to take 10 to 12 games before you know what you have because of all the portal and the transitional pieces that are
good
in place.
Good point,
now.
Yeah.
That's not the case it was in 83. Certainly wasn't the case it was, you know, even 10 years ago. But now with so much, I mean, we've got 1,100 players in the portal right now in college basketball. 1,100.
Right. And it's insane.
I think NC State is probably a really good example of a team that that found itself in Washington. I mean, down 1 to Louisville at the half, and I'm sitting there doing the game thinking to myself, they cannot possibly lose this game. Louisville had shot 64% in the first half. It was their best half shooting of the year, and NC State came back to win. But the reality of it was, then they had to beat Syracuse. Then they had to beat Duke. Then they had to beat Virginia, and so on and so forth.
And they got, you know, talk about staving off death. They had to hit the 3-pointer against Virginia, or it was over.
Well, and you know that anytime something like this happens, there is a play that does it.
Yep.
That sparks everything else. And that's what happened when O'Connell hit that 3 to get the game to overtime in Washington.
Well, that's what your interview with Roy and Krzyzewski was, right? They talked about one play, right?
One play, yeah. And it's funny. I've had a couple people refer to the same thing here in the last couple of weeks. NC State's found the one play, and it was O'Connell's 3. And I said, yeah, in that case, it probably is.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, tell me this.
It's a story for those guys and great for Kevin. I think Kevin's done a really good job there. I know a lot of people probably were out on him, you know, toward the end of this year, but it's not easy to do this anymore. This is a complicated process,
right.
And it happens in a myriad of different ways.
What do you think about the Purdue game? Can the beer truck DJ Burns contain the 7'4" monster in there for Purdue?
I hate to say this because Brian Kersey and I are longtime friends, but I oftentimes look at him and go, I know this is not your game, so I can tell you this. It's going to depend on how it was officiated.
Bottom line.
Edie has, I will say this, Edie throws a tent in the lane now. He stands in there longer than Will Chamberlain ever thought about. it's going to be really interesting to see how NC State attacks Purdue, because NC State pressures you, they don't press you. And I think that Purdue is a little uncomfortable when the tempo gets picked up. But the Painter, Kevin Keats matchup from a X's and O's standpoint and the Edie Burns thing will be really good leads to what I think will be a terrific game. And I think the other game will be terrific too, to be honest with you. I think UConn-Alabama, UConn is a demo team now. I mean, 30-0 run on a squad that's got 13 scholarship players.
That was unbelievable.
Players.
Unbelievable.
You never see that, Henry. And so,
especially the final 8.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes, but I think it'll be interesting and fun to watch NC State and see if they can keep the magic. And I'm thrilled for our colleague Gary Hahn that 34 years of doing the Wolfpack. quarterback, and you remember when he replaced the legendary Wally Osmond.
Oh, yeah.
For Gary to be able to go out like this on a run to Phoenix in the Final Four certainly is a blessing for him.
Good for him. Wes Durham, great talking to you, man, as always. Thanks for doing this.
Okay, Henry, take care.
One of the best, Wes Durham there. Fascinating stuff for me, Pilk, to listen to Wes kind of break down how everything was going. I think O'Connell's been the key to the Wolfpack. I mean, ever since he's been inserted into the lineup, they have a true point guard, somebody who is not looking his own shot, and that has made the Owls better. Plus, they're really guarding right now. I think if anybody can give Edie a little bit of trouble, it might could be DJ Burns. So we'll see. And you could make the argument that the Wolfpack guards are better right now than the Purdue guards. I mean, Edie's the best player on the floor in that game. I also think Wes is I was talking to Mole last night coming back from the coaches show. If the game were not in a dome, you'd really feel good about Alabama's chances to shoot the three-point shot and make the shot. But you know what he was telling Hulk? Since the dome era began, you know what they shoot in the Final Four, all the teams from three?
I don't know. It's got to be bad because I know that's why they moved
30%.
Yeah, that's why they were doing the Elite Eight and the Sweet 16 in the big domes there for a handful of years. And they're like, yeah, maybe this isn't the best idea. And they moved them back to normal arenas.
So, but, you know, if Bama could get hot, you don't ever know. You don't ever know. I think odds are it's going to be UConn and Purdue. And I think whoever's playing UConn, with the exception of maybe Alabama, is going to and Alabama may lose by 20, but I think UConn could really steamroll Purdue. Be interesting. We'll see. All right. Pilk's got a 94-3 The Game sports update, and a Pirate Report will come back, talk a little bit about Pirate basketball, some news that Pilk is going to reiterate and share with about the transfer portal. Anyway. The Pirates and the Wolfpack. We're getting you ready for that coming up tonight. So, Philip Pilkington with the 94-3 The Game. And then we'll wrap things up here with some notes on the PJ Show. Pilk.
Thank you, P-Man. Starting in Pirate Athletics, it's game day for the East Carolina baseball team as they will travel west to Raleigh to take on AMAC and the Wolfpack. Coach Godwin says he wishes his former third baseman the best.
And look, I just want to say this, and I want everybody to hear it. I don't have any ill will towards AMAC. I'm glad he's having a great year.
Stay tuned for that broadcast right after our show, as network coverage will begin at 5:45 for that just after 6 o'clock pitch with Scott Rogers and Coach Gary Overton. As Patrick mentioned, some new faces in the portal in Pirate basketball, including big man Ezra Asar. He entered late yesterday. And moving on from Pirate Athletics to Major League Baseball, where last night Astros pitcher Ronel Blanco threw the 17th no-hitter in club history in a 10-0 win over the Toronto Blue Jays. Blanco allowed just two walks in an outing that saw him throw 105 pitches. Moving over to the NFL, there was some QB news that broke late after most of us were already in the bed last night. Falcons quarterback and former Panther Taylor Heinicke is taking a nearly $4 million pay cut, taking his salary from roughly $6 million to $1.21 million for the upcoming season to try and remain on the Falcons as they look to potentially draft a quarterback with the number 8 pick in the upcoming NFL draft. Also, Patrick Mahomes will have a new face in his quarterback room as the Chiefs have signed a new backup, veteran Carson Wentz, to a 1-year deal. The women's Final Four is set for Friday night in Cleveland. NC State will take on South Carolina at 7 o'clock, and it will be followed shortly thereafter by UConn and Iowa. Last night, the Hawkeyes defeated LSU, who beat them in last year's tournament, as Caitlin Clark led the way with 41 points. That'll do it for your 94-3 The Game Sports Flash Update and Pirate Report. On the other side of this time out, we will be back to wrap up the Patrick Johnson Show with a little ECU hoops talk.
And now, the stunning conclusion of the show. It's the P-Man here on 94.3 The Game.
have ECU baseball coming your way tonight against NC State, top 20 matchup in college baseball, big rivalry series. Standing by is Scott Rogers and Dr. Gary Overton. Scooter and Coach O have the call for you coming up in just a little bit. Pilk, in our Pirate Report, Ezra Azar, who averaged over 11 points and nearly 5 rebounds per game, got into the transfer portal late yesterday. We got word that he's going to do that. Logan Bourgeois, if he's not in already, will be getting in soon, from what I understand. And then late last night, Val Pinedo is entering the portal. With Ezra, great kid, I think. A unique athlete. He's not a springy athlete, but he can, finish with a head of steam, quick, runs like a gazelle. Got to get a little more determined, I think, in the strength department and the willingness to absorb contact, because he gets to the line a lot. He improved his free throw shooting. I think there is a player there that wants to get better and that could be a really, really good college basketball player. I don't know if he's going to be what we might have thought he was near the end of last year, and maybe what people in his ear were telling him over the summer. Now, he did have a shoulder surgery in the offseason. He was bothered by a little bit of injury at times. But Ezra hitting the portal, can he play on the American level? Sure. But I think he's got to be in the right situation, to be quite honest with you. And I'm not sure what that right situation is right now, to be totally honest. I don't know what that is. We'll see. Not a bad kid at all. I think he stayed engaged. I got to get a little more committed to wanting to play on the defensive end. And that's a big part of what Ezra's future is going to be. A guy that has the ability to maybe be a stretch four, or at least a productive four that can finish. But as it went longer, I thought, well, he might end up staying, but it doesn't surprise me. And then with Pinedo, I mean, great kid, plays his heart out, but you can't win basketball games with him being a part of your regular. It's nothing against the young man. It's just this level, he's not there. He's down a level easily, in my opinion. And I think other basketball people's opinion. So right as of now, you got the two bigs with Malanga, who's got the huge future, and you need to make sure you're on him. Richard, I'd say future contributor. He could post rotation. I don't know if he's ever be a guy that starts, but he could be in your rotation. And a big off for those guys. And it looks now like the Pirates are going to be scholarship players in the portal, with Bourgeois reportedly going to, well, Cam Hayes looks like he's going to be back, and that's to me a positive for the Pirates as well. In addition, congratulations to Pilk. You called the championship game for Farmville and for North Pitt. What was the young lady, Jones?
Zamaria Jones.
For North Pitt. Zamaria Jones, excellent player. I wanted to pronounce her name correctly. She's playing in the McDonald's All-American game tonight at 6:30 in Houston, Texas. It'll be on ESPN2. It'll precede the McDonald's All-American game for the boys. There's another player, the girl from Grace Christian, who's equally fantastic, playing in that game tonight, 6:30 ESPN2. So congratulations there. It's great to have a local kid. She's only 5'7". What'd she average, close to 30 a game, Pilk?
Yeah, it Jones? Was. I think it may have been 30 a game. I don't have my old stats right in front of me, but
I mean, what a player! And going to go to NC State. They're in the Final Four, so they get a really good Eastern North Carolina player and a really good Eastern North Carolina guard. So congrats to her. And if you get a chance tonight to check that out on ESPN2 again at 6:30 from Houston, it's the McDonald's All-American game for the girls at 6:30 with the boys to follow. Thanks today to Wes Durham. He came on Talk of the Town earlier. Great interview there. A lot of ground covered. We appreciate TOT, Henry and Michael Buscemi, for allowing us to use that here this afternoon. Thanks to Philip the Ref Pilkington, as always. Pilk is the soldier that gets it done in all of this. All right, Pirates and Wolfpack tonight. Number 12 versus number 19 from Raleigh. Standing by is Scott Rogers and Dr. Gary Overton. Scooter and Coach O will have the call for you here on the ECU Sports Network with the pregame coming up in just a matter of moments. We'll get you out there as East Carolina will look for their 21st win and try to win their fifth in a row. All right. Have a great rest of your evening. We will see you coming up tomorrow on Talk of the Town in the morning and back here on the PJ Show at 5 o'clock. Have a great evening, everybody.